You are listening to Let's Go JoJo, the weekly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure podcast from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. On today's show, we have Niall Flanagan.
Yo.
Anthony Askew.
Good evening.
Dwayne Maloney.
Ha!
And me, Brian Smith. This week's episode, Pet Shop, the one who guards the entrance to hell. Part one. But before we get to that, it's the week in JoJo's news. Okay, three bits of JoJo's news this week. There was somebody posing mannequins in JoJo's poses, which became a brief meme.
A bit, very brief.
There's not much more to that news than that.
I wouldn't have thought mannequins were flexible enough to do JoJo poses.
These ones are.
Yeah.
I don't know if the... They got one, it's kind of... doing a kind of type pose now, whereas the hands are kind of thrown up the horns. So I don't know. I don't know if the fingers are poseable or if the mannequin came that way out of the box with the hands.
They have to order
way.
A special set of like JoJo-esque hands where they make weird poses with them.
Maybe they're the hands from the jewelry display for displaying the rings on, and then just took them out of the mannequin.
That could be it.
In relation to the Zatch Bell Pachinko fraud story, in some of the news items they've been mentioned in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and Slam Dunk as other things. Apparently,
or on this story as it updates.
They may have also been falsely selling the copyright, the licenses to. Have you not heard the Zatch Bell Pachinko fraud story?
No. I want to.
Okay, there's these three men who have just been arrested because they were selling pachinko companies the licenses to make Zatch Bell pachinko machines when they didn't have the rights to do so.
That sounds like I'll sell you the George Washington Bridge, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that sort of con, yes.
And lots of people fell for it.
Enough people and they made enough money.
And obviously
it was illegal regardless, but I think, I can't remember what numbers they would make, but I think it was large numbers, I remember. But I just like the phrase, the Zatch Bell pachinko fraud story.
of 2015, I can't remember, I guess yesterday.
Come to a cinema near you.
Okay, they dramatise it. Okay, and the final bit is, of course, catching up with our favourite band, FYT, or sorry, FYT as they're known, which stands for Funky Yankee Teachers. As a reminder, one of the members of the band, I believe Toda and Zuko, has retired.
Oh no.
Reducing the fans of the band to fury.
To I think fury. In part,
when you look at her Twitter feed, I think it says that she retired in December. I think the news has only got out now.
To give her time to leave the country.
An album or something?
I don't. I'm sure they won't say why she's retired.
Mm. Creative differences.
It's a One Direction type scenario where people freak out for reasons.
Yeah, I could be wrong on what that date means, but she's not. She's not in fight anymore, apparently.
Mm. Disappointing for some people.
So I read. It probably turns out that I've got the wrong fight member. But one of them is. She's only 17, so these teachers aren't very old. I don't think they're even real teachers on that age.
They're fairly smart to get their qualifications at that age,
That is true. There might be some sort of Doogie Howser situation going on where they're wunderkinds.
That you could be only teaching assistants, masquerading as full-time teachers.
Oh,
in the great funky teacher teaching scandal of 2015.
And for those who've not heard us mention them before, the reason they get included in these news items is that part of their gimmick, amongst the fact that they're teachers and Yankees, is they do JoJo's poses.
So I guess their full name should have been what? Funky Yankee Substitute, or sorry, Assistant Teachers Doing JoJo Poses. Yeah?
Yes,
that would have been the full name?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that would abbreviate to and how you could turn it into a word like fight. I'm guessing they came up with the FYT meaning fight and they worked backwards from that.
Okay.
They could have spent longer getting a better name. They could have.
And thus ends the week in JoJo's news. Mm-hmm. So on to this week's episode, Pet Shop, the one who guards the entrance to hell, part one. So this is the Iggy episode.
The long-awaited.
Yay! The Silver Fang episode.
Exactly, yes.
Yep.
Let's go Silver Fang.
So the gang are still trying to find Dio's headquarters. And I think there's a... Have they hired that private detective who shows up later in this episode, in an earlier episode?
The bomb?
I've never seen this.
Not the bomb. There's a guy... We'll get to him anyway. But then we get Polnareff getting into an argument with a beggar. And complaining that he hasn't had a bath since I don't know when.
Yesterday.
That's what I was thinking. And I was thinking, was that when you were being drowned by a Lessie?
And that bad sucked.
So he gets into the argument with a beggar who explains that he's part of a beggars association and that other beggars are supposed to keep their distance. I looked that up. I don't know if that's a real thing.
Was that before or after it turned up in a Discworld novel?
Good point. Maybe after, actually, because Discworld novels would be late 80s.
Yeah.
It could have been one of those things where it has happened, massive coincidence just occurring independently of each other, like how we got two Dennis the Menaces who were both called that and both were not ripping each other off. It just happened to just emerge into the world like that.
Around the same time as well.
Mm.
Yeah, I looked up Egypt Beggars Association, Egypt Beggars Union, and couldn't find anything. So I don't know whether this was a bit of travelogue or just something that Araki had heard and got wrong. There's better research later on in the episode. And then we follow up with Iggy, and he's being bullied by two refugees from Silver Fang. What were their names again?
Chibi and Bucci. Those are ingrained in my mind. Yeah. After the kid can't find him, he's like, that's Chibi, Bucci, Chibi, Bucci, Chibi, Bucci. Don't let that one come, kid. We get onto him, though.
So, yeah, these two dogs are about to bully Iggy, but then Iggy sort of shows off. Doesn't show his stand, but sort of gives them a sense of his power. And they back off. And then they instead see a bird wandering underneath a gate, behind a gate, and they see it, sort of the shadow cast underneath the gate, and they decide, oh, it's going to eat that bird rather than pick on this tiny Boston Terrier.
Oh, from the start of this episode, I figured they were just going to do animal noises, and I was like, are they going to actually have him, you know, monologue and shit? Because it was just like, you know, barks and woofs, and yeah, but all the intent of the dogs is like, ooh, a bird, let's eat the bird.
So they stick their heads under the gate, and then you hear a horrible noise.
It's a wet crunch, I think, yes, would be the best way to say it.
And then we see their heads flying above the gate.
Oh.
Impaled on an icicle.
Yes.
Dog cruelty.
I thought he was going to drop the gates on him, you know? This is a big iron gauge.
I think that would have been a little kinder. Yeah. What happened?
And yes, then we see the source of this attack, and it's the falcon we saw in the previous season of Star Wars Crusaders, the very smug looking falcon, and it's got its eye on Iggy, thinking, "What does he know? What's he up to?" So Iggy tries to play the fool, and then he's distracted first of all by a detective who is apparently looking for Dio's base, and he says he found it in 2 hours. He was the guy I was thinking, did they hire him in a previous episode? I forgot about him.
No, it was just the start of this episode.
He's the bum!
Yeah, Abdul is the bum. The bum takes off his bum rags and he's wearing a sweet suit and has a Mercedes Benz.
Okay, I must have looked away at that point.
Yeah.
It's a big moment!
Jesus, it pays well to be a beggar in Egypt.
he's the head of the Beggars Union. That's why he gets...
Okay. I mean, like, Abdul was looking for him specifically because he's the guy about town. Like,
okay, got it. Right. I'm doing the synopsis. That's terrible. This is Anna.
Oh, judgment, I was holding back. I think I was going to get a... Oh, go on.
Okay, I'll completely throw it off. Yeah, so then he gets killed by a huge block of ice falling on top of him.
Yeah, it wrecks his car too, which is pretty big.
It's another icicle spike as well, which makes me think whether his pet shop's powers are based on the urban myth of icicle spikes falling from aeroplanes.
Oh, I was thinking of the one where it's like it'd get away with the perfect murder, you know, if you kill someone with an icicle.
No one suspects the Falcon.
I was thinking of the idea that when you flush the toilet in an aeroplane, it forms an icicle. It just goes straight out of the aeroplane. And
I've never heard that before. That's both very good. Both perhaps the truth behind it, but.
Yeah.
So then he turns his focus on Iggy and, but then a car almost runs over Pet Shop, but Pet Shop flies underneath the car and Iggy uses that as a chance to get away. Then he runs into a kid who's looking for his two dogs and the kid starts climbing underneath the gate and Iggy's like, pa, humans. I don't have to worry about them. I don't care about Dio. I don't care about the Joestars. I'm a dog. All I want to do is meet a hot bitch.
Which is appropriate. He's not being...
accurate.
It is, yeah.
And we should say at this point, we have started getting Iggy's in a monologue.
Finally. Who does the voice? Tell me it's someone...
The same woman we mentioned before.
Is it? Yeah.
The same one who does all the...
Yes.
Is it?
Misato Fukuin.
Okay. Well, I like the voice he's got.
Yeah. He sounds like a slightly more pissed off Jotaro.
Yada yada. And then the kid looks under there and he finds Pet Shop eating the heads of his pets.
He eventually notices, even though this carnage is right in front of him, he spends like a good minute or two there under the gate calling which, like, Chibi, Poochie, Chibi, even though their corpses are right in front of him all the time.
Pretty much his entire dialogue is just calling. Oh no, he does ask Iggy, doesn't he? Have you seen my
dog? He asks Iggy, have you seen my dog? And Iggy's like, I'm a dog. I can't fucking talk. Stupid fucking kid.
In my mind I can.
Obviously the kid's like a terrible pet owner because he raised like the biggest, ugliest Rottweilers, or not Rottweilers, pit bulls? Something like that. And it's just like, these dogs are very poor training. You just let them off in the streets.
I assume there's some sort of fighting dog.
Oh yeah, they're pretty stacked.
What we've learned from watching Silver Fang.
Yeah. I wish they came back, those two big dogs.
They made a mistake wandering into an Iraqi story. They should have stayed in Silver Fang. They would have been safer fighting bears.
They would have been just possibly maimed, you know, might have been an egg, might survive this, but here, nah, you're going to get obliterated in a horrible way.
And yeah, the, Pet Shop's about to kill the kid when Iggy saves the day because he can't bring himself to let a kid who loves dogs die.
He has
a heart.
He
will let two dogs die, though.
Yes, and then he tells the kid to get out of there.
By hitting him in the face.
He kicks him in the face.
Yes, and then yells at him in English. And then we hear him in actual dog talk. Barking, you might almost say. I mean, you almost say barking because it's quite clearly a woman. Which is the genius of that performance, is that it's obvious a human doing it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense for Iggy, who looks like a person. Those other two dogs
sound
so like
much
dogs.
Like a person in this.
Yeah, he's at his most personness.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he sweats when he's nervous, when he's looking at a pet shop, because dogs don't sweat like that. They sweat through their pads and their tongues.
Good observation.
I heard them, someone compare Iggy during the week there online to, he's like Speak, the wonder dog from The Tick.
Is Speak that much of a jerk? I think Iggy's like the biggest jerk of a dog.
So he looks weird enough.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is he more like Triumph the Insult Comic Dog? So then Pet Shop starts showing off his powers some more. He like forms this circle of ice around him, which is just a distraction to freeze Iggy to the floor. And then he shoots these spikes, but then Iggy uses Joker to protect him.
Joker.
You mean the fool?
Fool. Yes, why did I say Joker?
Hey, who's like doing the synopsis here? Who's this guy?
I'm helping.
No, yeah. I know.
He makes a sand pyramid, which is, or not a pyramid, igloo, which makes less sense. I guess a pyramid would have made more sense.
And then he legs it. And dives in, he goes into the sewers to escape him and then thinks he's safe and then turns around and Pet Shop's right there. And then it appears that Pet Shop has decapitated Iggy, but it turns out that was just a sand double and he gets a claw in on Pet Shop, and he tries to bargain with him, saying, hey, I don't care about Dio. We've both got hit on each other. Let's just part ways and leave it at that. But Pet Shop is having none of this, and he summons his stand in full, which is Horus. And it's like a mechanical, two-armed, bird-headed being, which makes sort of robotic noises when it moves.
Pretty badass.
Do animals get cyborg stands? Because that's pretty sweet.
Seems that way.
And Iggy even refers to it as the actual design of his stand. I was like, when I saw the sub, I thought, is that really the translation? Then he actually says design as well.
Design.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he tries to leg it and he gets blocked off. And by the end of the episode, it looks like he has died. Dun, dun, dun. But then it kind of gives it away in the next episode preview that he hasn't.
That could have been a flashback, Brian.
It was a flashback. It was.
Sure.
You stick it from beyond the grave.
Anything else I've missed? Apart from the obvious ones. Of course, there is Pet Shop does smile at one point.
Yeah.
And he comments on the fact that his beak has made a smile.
You shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah. The guy who nearly runs over Pet Shop, I say nearly, but you know, it looks like, but Pet Shop, you know, is fine. He speedwagons, like, in his explanation of, it's like, my God, that hawk went and not only dodged my car, which is really low to the ground, but he came right for it. I really like that guy. He was like, thanks, random guy, for explaining that this hawk is badass. I kind of knew that. I also like the fact that Pet Shop just makes, like, noises that sound like a pterodactyl or something. It's like, whoa, it's terrifying.
He is terrifying. I just love that scene when Iggy's got he's wounded him with the fool, and they're like, okay, man, let's just back off and call it a draw, okay? And he just presses his cast, just getting to his feet. He touches his wing to the wound, gets some blood out, and then licks it off like
spits it out. Like
at that point, he just looked like a man wearing a falcon suit.
Yeah, because when he gets up, he has knees. Like he has knees to go forward and everything. It's like, what is going on?
I think if there was a live action JoJo's, you'd want Pet Shop and Iggy played by people in like ascot suits, but then shot shrunk down.
Also, there's like a big set for any of their shots in on a plate. That would be amazing.
Yeah, but like Lord of the Rings, so the same sort of tricks they pull there.
I love the bird. I want more animal stands. That's what I've learned from today's episode.
You know, I've forgotten how much I missed from like the old JoJo's of, you know, when Araki would go through like, oh yeah, it's like he has 300 PSI with his fingers, you know, and all this kind of facts. He can leap at a height of 5 meters and all this kind of thing. It kept going on with the falcon facts and like, dude, falcons are really fucking scary. Let me read all these numbers to you.
It got very Mark Trail in those books with these super realistic drawings of falcons. Yeah.
Especially because you're going to compare those falcons who always look cross-eyed, right? That's just the way falcons' eyes work. To this dude who just looks like he has a human brow. He looks nothing like a regular falcon.
He is so smug.
he's got his scarf and his hat, you know, he does look like Dio in bird form.
he's got a chain as well, so he's got a bit of Jotaro going on.
But I had to say, this is the episode where I did feel like, oh shit, things have started getting serious. This is actually a legitimate threat to one of the group.
Yeah.
The ketchup doesn't fuck around.
Yeah. It's like he's sewing around chasing Iggy to the streets of Cairo, and he's like launching ice missiles. Because the ice is there, I'm just like hitting stuff and exploding. Like he blows up like a couple of cars with icicles. It's like, wow, he's just like blanket bombing the city right now.
Another thing I kind of like about Pet Shop is it's not clear. I mean, like besides the whole rubbing his own blood and then licking it and all that weirdness.
That was Bruce Lee.
It seems kind of like, yeah. it seems kind of like he's just an animal. He's just entirely about hunting, you know? Maybe, and by that stage, it's like, oh, okay, maybe he does have intelligence.
I think he does, because, when he takes out the private eye, you know, at the private eye, you know, he'd be given a photograph of Dio's mansion, I tried to find this house, and, oh, I found the house. He obliterates Private Eye. There's Private Eye is exploded into like viscera, the body parts in there, and then Petrov knows to take the photograph he's had and he tears it up in his claws. Leave no evidence.
That's pretty good, right? But if the lads are wandering through Cairo, it's like, do you hear about that dude that got hit by a giant ice shard and his car fucking exploded?
Well, hey,
it's like, and the lads are like, what? Yeah, that sounds like a stand power. Let's go over there. Oh, look, it's this mansion. He didn't really cover the evidence very well.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, it would be suspicious. I think it would be more like, where's the area where loads of people are going missing?
Do you not think the cops would like go, you know, over there and they'd be just like, hey, isn't this where that car exploded? Let's knock on the door of this mansion and see if anyone
get killed. I think he's just killing everybody who attempts to get in that building. That's the evidence of this episode. And so if anyone comes to investigate these people going missing, plus the fact the ice will melt, so there won't be any evidence of how these people died.
I guess it is quite hard out.
And he's probably eating everybody as well.
He's a small bird. He only appears to be eating eyeballs for the moment.
But even if the ice doesn't melt, could people see the ice because it's from a stand?
No, your man could see the ice. Yeah. It's kind of like Iggy's, the way you can see it, because it's made of, when it's made of sand, you can see
a substance. I see. I finally felt
looked up and there's like a giant ice spike. He's like, the fuck? And then he died.
Yeah, I guess he would have seen nothing and just died if not. But I like Iggy. Iggy's finally, he's showed his worth. So I'm kind of giving him a chance. Will he last long enough?
Mm. He got to do a good grief as well.
Yeah, that was good.
I do like the fact that he is, now we hear him talking, he's kind of like the delinquent version of Jotaro. Before he became motivated to do anything.
Also, is kind of a coward, really. But if a big enough of a coward that he is, even he won't let like a small child get killed by a bunch of.
Another comedy bit I liked in this one was Iggy trying to act stupid. He was like really overselling it, and the hawk was just staring at him with this fucking dead eye thing. I was like, I'm gonna fucking murder you.
And the fact that he's keeping his eye on the hawk while he's doing it, as if to make sure that it's working.
Good episode. I liked
those big dogs as well, though, because before get any inner monologues or talking animals, you know, like those two big dogs, their faces are very, very expressive. Like, you know, precisely what's on their minds, you know. Like, they see Iggy, it's like, oh, we're gonna eat you. Like, oh, wait, no, we're not. We're very, very scary. And then they see, a chicken under the door. We're gonna eat that. It'd be tasty.
Yeah. And
so,
there's so much censorship of whatever viscera they ended up in.
Oh, man. Lingering just a little bit too long, and like Petrov the Scrub swallowing the eyeballs, just going like
If you notice, there was a bunch of blacked out stuff in his throat, I assume you're just slowly seeing that go down, and I was like, that sounds horrible.
It's going to be great watching the Uncensored.
I was thinking that. I didn't really want to say it in case people think I'm a horrible person. Yes, it will.
Hey, we were Silver Fang. We're used to.
Oh, we've seen terrible violence. Things. Great, terrible things.
Just imagine if those bears had had stands.
Oh, gosh.
They'd be unstoppable.
There's a gap in the market with animal things. There needs to be more animals with voices being bad.
The next JoJo should be like a cat named JoJo.
Oh, that'd be great.
And it's just all animal stands.
Well, you can just have to play that game we were playing last year. Where all the JoJo's were cats.
Just reboot it with animals instead of all the main characters. Okay, yeah. That could work.
I'm sure Anthony would love a super deformed JoJo's version where they're all animals. I'm sure that would go down a tree with him.
It doesn't have to be crazy shapes, just animals. Like, I don't know, what would Polnareff be? A giraffe, I don't know, something.
Oh, I bet there is fan art of all these guys drawn as animals.
Or Falcons.
Or Falcons.
I think leave safe Sir John in that case.
I mean, as actual animals, not as furry versions of them.
That's what I mean. You're going to come across that in the meantime. I was like, Polnareff as a rabbit. And you're just like, oh shit, that went very badly for everyone.
See that.
Anyway, yes, hype for next episode. Kakoin seems to be back as well.
Yep.
Dressed like Neo.
He was already half dressed as Neo.
He is. He is, right.
Gotta get the whole, the full roster together now before we assault the final level.
I mean, how many episodes are left? And
you have Pet Shop, part two. You have, there'll be a two-parter for one guy. There'll be a two-parter for the guy after that. And then you'll be on Dio, however long that takes.
Oh gosh. It's soon.
Actually, it's just kind of going by the count now. When Dio could possibly take quite some time to get through it, unless they just are happy to leave off the series on like an odd number.
Yeah, possibly.
I feel like it was an even number.
Well, yeah, if it's the same number of episodes as last time, it'll be 48.
48. That's still 10 episodes now to get
through. Yeah, we've got some content.
Anything, I think they have to speed up for the Dio fight.
Let's
see, we're on episode, well, the next episode is 65, and then we got 74.
64.
I'm going, oh shit, I'm going by the, yeah, I'm going by the entire thing added together.
Got it.
So, like, we'll say there's about 10 or so left, and then we're going to have 5 dealing with the rest of the Dio's henchmen, and then possibly 5 remaining then for Dio, because there's like a multi-stage fight, so I could see it spitting out that long.
Let's see, episode 39 to 48. Yeah, that's around 9. So.
We'll find out, sir, in our own time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Not the best episode
ever. Oh!
I'm always curious as to what your rating is. It's not one, a 5-star rating. It's like either best episode ever or not best episode ever.
They're all the best.
I was going to say, I like this one a lot.
I really.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Shit's finally getting real, like.
Yeah, the sheer tone jump from, the last two episodes to this, I think probably heightened.
It's weird, right? That it gets serious with talking animals.
Oh, that's great. That's the best thing about it.
Yeah, that's why it was so good.
Having read bits of JoJo Lion, though, I mean, nothing's going to take me by surprise at this point.
That's true.
So that ends this week's episode of Let's Go JoJo. Be back here next week for Pet Shop, the one who guards the entrance to hell, part 2. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcasts at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com and dynamiteinthebrain.com. Goodbye.
Camels with the hump, fat girls, thin girls, some a little plump, slave girls sold here, 50 bob a lump, in the old bazaar in Cairo. Brandy, shandy, beer without a froth, braces, laces, a candle for the moth, bet you'd look a dolly in an old loincloth, in the old bazaar in Cairo. You can buy most anything, thimbles, fat cows, a little bit of string. You can purchase anything you wish, a clock, a dish, and something for your Auntie Fanny. Harem, scarem, what do you think of that? Benny, striptease, dancing on the mat. Oompa, oompa. That's enough of that in the old bazaar in Cairo.